Hello and welcome back to Thought for the Day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church following our break for Easter. And welcome back to our study in which we spend a few minutes each morning looking at God's Word and seeing what it has to say to us. Let's pray as we do that this morning. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being able to read your Word. We thank you for sending your Spirit into our hearts, so that we might understand it and read it with your eyes, interpreting it into our lives so that it can be applied and practically used in the way that you are growing us in the Saviour and making us more like him. So do that, we pray, in this study in Philemon as we begin this morning. To his glory we ask. Amen. So we're looking at Paul's letter to Philemon. And we're going to read this morning verses 1 to 3. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if at school or as a young child you had a nickname. Well, we're going to come across what might be a nickname, Onesimus, as Paul talks to Philemon, who he greatly regards, highly regards in his faith in Christ, about this slave who has done nothing short of running away in shame from his household. But more of that later as we move into this short letter, 25 verses, no chapters, just the 25 verses, and we see what this is all about. But it falls to me this morning to open this study with looking at how Paul begins his letter. And the start of letters is always important, isn't it? I guess something that in our modern age we tend to just sort of skip through, but certainly in times past, how you addressed somebody, how you began and opened when you were writing to them, actually indicated what you thought of them, perhaps far more than we do today. So we're looking at how Paul describes himself, and then we're looking at how he describes these other people, and then we're looking at the greeting that he brings to them. So how does he describe himself? Well, he's an apostle, remember, greatly respected. And a verse later on tells us that he's writing imprisoned in Rome, under guard, house arrest probably. He's writing as an old man now, no longer the young man who had looked after the clothes of those who stoned Stephen, had come through this conversion on the Damascus Road, all of these years of experience in sowing and preaching the gospel, to actually plant churches, going back to visit them, encouraging them, building them up, instituting eldership and leadership in those churches, and encouraging them and exhorting them in the word of God. All of that is in his past. And he writes as a distinguished leader of the Christian church, as an apostle to this man, Philemon. And yet he calls himself nothing other than a prisoner of Christ Jesus. There is a tremendous humility there. He could have been pulling rank. He could have been saying, I am the esteemed leader of the Christian church throughout the world, and you, Philemon, you must do as I tell you. But no, he doesn't do any of that. He wants to make sure that Philemon knows he's being addressed, as it were, on the same level as Paul himself. And Paul is simply writing from his prison to this man in the freedom of his home. Also included is Timothy, who is with Paul probably at this time, who he calls our brother. So let's look at these terms that he uses. Now, he's probably talking to a household church of which Philemon was the leader in his household. We think that Apphia was probably Philemon's wife and Archippus his son. And the reason for thinking that is that the words later in verse 2, the words your home, is singular. So the your applies to all three of them. It's their home, and therefore they belong to the same family. That's a guess, but it's an educated guess. But look at what he calls these people, this distinguished apostle, this eminent leader, very well respected and revered by those who have come to faith under his ministry. Look at the terms that he uses. He calls them Timothy, my brother, Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, Philemon, dear friend and fellow worker. So those four aspects of the way that he addresses Christians certainly ought to be something that we realize is true of our Christian family in our churches. There are those in this day who, following the pandemic, who have been got used to looking at ministry online and maybe have been involved in Zoom calls and prayer meetings that actually just happen not face to face, not in person, but apart from one another and by artificial, albeit useful means. And these people sometimes have said, well, I don't see any need to get back into the fellowship. These verses speak the lie to that. It's so important to realize how close we are as God knits us together in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at them systematically. First of all, we are a family. We consist of brothers and sisters in Christ. And it doesn't matter what position you hold in the church, those who are in Christ alongside you are actually a members of your distinguished family with God as your father, as Paul refers to in verse 3. This is a unit. It is something you are born into. It's something that becomes a part of you and you of it. The Church of Jesus Christ is your family. It doesn't matter what family you came from, maybe that was good or bad, your experience of your own family life, but you are now in this close-knit fellowship community which is bound together in the love of God, the glorious love of God, which can actually do maybe what no other human love could do. And this is what holds you in bondage, in bonding to the brothers and sisters who are also members of your families. God's given you a massive family. Go throughout the world. You can go anywhere and belong in this family and know that you are part of it. Secondly, he uses the term friends to Philemon, our dear friend. And there it is, another level of relationships that we enjoy in our human lives. We have friends, those who are not family, but nevertheless they are close. And they are close because we get along with them, because we have learned to relate to them in ways that make them valuable to us and us to them. So we describe them as friends. And in the Christian church, you will find you have friends. There are those who you get alongside, who you just seem to click with. You get on with them. You exhort and you benefit them. You build them up in their faith, and they do the same to you. And this element of friendship that is born out of this attitude that we have in Christ, this love that we have, this common bond, this respect for one another, this desire to do each other good. There is all of that richly pervading the church, family, friends. And then he calls Philemon his fellow worker. So this is colleagues, this is people that you work alongside. You might find that in your employment life, there are people that you basically are working with. And although you might not even term them as friends, the fact is you have singular aims. In other words, you're pursuing whatever it is the purpose of the company or the employer that you work for. And that brings you alongside these other people, and you interrelate and you work with them. You kind of mesh with them in what you're doing so that you're actually combining what you're doing into a whole instead of making it sort of disintegrated parts. There is this unification in purpose that fellow workers, colleagues have. And we have that in Christ as well. What is our aim? It's to glorify Jesus. It's to live lives in this world that bring honor to him. It's to make him known in a world of darkness where sinners need to hear the gospel. All of these things that scripture outlines and exhorts us to, they become our common aim in Christ, and we work alongside others to achieve those aims. And then finally, the fourth one, I haven't got really a single word for this. He describes Archippus as our fellow soldier. So there is a kind of like a brothers in arms thing, you know, in the armed forces where people have fought alongside others, and there has been this strong bonding caused by the fact that they've faced danger together, maybe even death, maybe they've even lost colleagues who have fought with them. And it develops this and forges this strength of unity between them because they've gone through so much together. We have that in Christ. This is a war that we're in, that we were opposed by the evil one. We're up against opposition in battle, and we are attacked sometimes, and we defend together. We pull together. We've got the picture of the Roman army with these great shields that they used, and sometimes in going into battle, they would unite these shields in front of them, body length shields, to create a wall of defense, each one guarding the person next to them, and so that combined they become something that they would not be individually. And we are brothers in arms in Christ, and we look out for one another, we defend one another, we uphold one another, and strengthen and fortify each other as we walk with Him. So these magnificent terms that Paul uses of fellow Christians, even though he is an apostle and he could kind of pull rank, he doesn't do that because he wants Philemon to be listening to him in a certain way. And that's going to be realized as we look through this letter. So here are the benefits for you, my brother and my sister in Christ, this morning. These are the relationships that God has brought you into with your other Christians in your community, in your church. And it's important that you embed yourself into that community, you become an active part of the church, so that you're operating and fulfilling and benefiting from all of these relationships with the brothers and sisters around you. And this is what brings us grace from God, peace from God, and it creates this sense of oneness in Christ that makes us rejoice in Him. So as you go into today, take those truths with you. Even though you're in a situation where you're away from the church, you're still a part of it. You're still being prayed for, you're still being looked out for, and you can in turn pray for others and look out for them. Let's do that now as we come to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you that you have begun it in your Son, and that you have told us that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. We thank you that you uphold her and you build her, and nothing prevents that work from being furthered. That the opposition of the world in all kinds of regimes and dictatorships and wars and troubles and trials will not thwart the growth of your church. And we thank you that we are a part of that this morning, and we can be blessed by it and encouraged within it. So help us to go forth in your strength in this day to the glory of Jesus. Amen.